Hey there, welcome to the Creative Classroom Podcast. I'm your host, John Spencer. I'm a former middle school teacher. I'm a current college professor, and I am passionate about seeing teachers transform their classrooms into bastions of creativity and wonder. I truly believe that when it comes to helping students reach their creative potential, the teachers play a vital role. And that's part of why I believe it's really important that people ask the teachers. And that's what I want to explore in today's podcast. And first, to do that, I'm going to tell you a little bit about Ted Lasso, which has been one of my favorite TV shows I've watched in the last couple of years. If you don't follow Ted Lasso, I hope it still makes sense. I will do my best not to do any spoilers, but spoiler alert, I'm going to be talking about something from the last episode of the second season of Ted Lasso. So if you feel like you don't want to go there, just skip this podcast episode. So just giving you that warning. But here we go. Roy Kent gets it. There's a scene in the last episode of this season's Ted Lasso where the team's game plan just doesn't seem to be working. The coaches huddle together in Ted's office and debate whether they should stick with the plan or try something new. And Roy Kent, a former soccer player, points to the players in the locker room and says, "Why don't we ask them? They're the ones playing the game." Okay, that's not exactly what he said. He uses the typical Roy Kent salty language that I can't use on this podcast, but you get the idea. In choosing systems and strategies, the people with the best firsthand knowledge are the players on the football field, or the football pitch, I think is what most footballers call it. Notice that Roy Kent doesn't deny his expertise. He's still a coach with full coaching duties. He's also a legend with immense football knowledge, or soccer knowledge, depending on where you're from. But in this moment, he doesn't lean on his legendary status or the years of experience he's gained. Instead, he recognizes what he's not: a player. He humbly admits that he doesn't know what it's like to be a footballer in this moment because he's no longer playing the game. And yes, he might only be removed by one season, but that one season is enough to admit, "I'm not playing the game right now." In this scene, each of the coaches leave their office and step into the locker room to ask for player feedback. And I think that's really important because my favorite administrators that I ever had as a classroom teacher did this all the time. They were able to say, "Let's ask the teachers." And they did so as more than just lip service. They genuinely listened to and sought out our advice. Some were blunt like a Roy Kent. Some were quiet like a Coach Beard. And one was loquacious and positive, just like, you know, Ted Lasso. Being on the sideline doesn't make you irrelevant. It doesn't strip you of your authority or your expertise or your experience. And we need leaders who can be there, who can have that expertise. But we also need them to observe and guide on the side. We need coaches who can offer their expertise in the moment, but we can never assume that leaders and coaches know what it's like to be a player. The moment you step away, you begin to lose some of that firsthand experiential knowledge of the field. And that's why it's important that you step back and admit, "I don't have all the answers. I'm going to ask the players." Now, I'm no longer a K-12 classroom teacher. I have strong memories of teaching in an underfunded middle school. I remember days when we didn't have school supplies. I recall moments when I realized that it had been two straight months without a prep period because we had no substitute teachers. But I have no memories of teaching during the pandemic. Zero. I don't remember that at all because I didn't teach during the pandemic. I don't have to tell my students who are in college right now to pull up their mask 2,017 times a day. I don't have frantic parents making demands on my schedule and attention and sending emails at 7 p.m. I don't know what it's like to be a teacher right now. I could try to guess, or I could try to relate my own experience. But the truth is, the best approach that I should take would be to ask the teachers. I realize that a classroom isn't a football pitch, but I think there's some wisdom in taking this Roy Kent approach and simply asking the teachers. I recently talked to a group of teachers, and I've had the honor and the opportunity to lead professional development all over the country, and some of it virtual, some of it in person. But I also reached out to some of the teachers I know online, some of the former teachers that I used to work with when I taught middle school. And it's really interesting because there are trends in terms of what teachers are saying. They're seeing a lack of soft skills in students, the lack of engagement and participation, a lack of substitute teachers, additional admin tasks that they didn't have in the past, challenging student behaviors that they just didn't anticipate, parents who are at times kind of demanding, too many new initiatives and not enough time, an increase in email and communication. Now, does any of this sound familiar? If you're an administrator or a coach, you're probably hearing the teachers you work with sharing similar things. And if you're a teacher, some of those might be things that you're experiencing yourself. But I want to point that almost all of these are systems issues. It's not enough to have a positive attitude or the right mindset. Creative and innovative teachers are facing huge barriers based on the larger context of a pandemic and the way it's impacting the systems and structures of their school. I haven't met a single teacher this year who isn't feeling some level of struggle. So I want to point out that the struggle is universal. We have these trends that we know are true, but the pain is particular. Although this struggle is common, we're in different places with our pain. Many teachers are exhausted right now. They're feeling the effects of doing too much. There's a sense of overwhelm at the seemingly unending tasks that keep piling up. For these teachers, the real challenge is simply that of time, energy, and capacity compared to the workplace demands being placed on their shoulders. But other teachers are feeling something different. They're feeling a sense of failure. In some cases, it's an issue of shame fueled by the message that if there are any problems in the classroom, it's the teacher's fault. Consider the challenge of teachers who are facing when it comes to classroom management. Some of them are saying things like, I've never had students throwing desks or yelling at me or biting, and no amount of saying just be positive or look on the bright side can deny their current pain. In fact, that would be almost insulting to them. The truth is, these students are just struggling more. The behaviors are harder this year. And admitting that classroom management is harder doesn't mean you have a low view of your students. It doesn't mean that you're setting low expectations. It doesn't mean you have a deficit mindset. It just means that you are admitting the reality that you're seeing right now, which is that classroom management is harder. There's almost this pressure to say the kids are great, it's the system that's hard. But I wonder if that creates a mindset where teachers end up with no permission to feel frustrated with things like late work or constant interruptions or the challenges that they are facing. You can love your students and still feel frustrated by certain behaviors. You can recognize the role of trauma and still want to be treated with respect. We need to recognize that this year has not been normal, and that pretending that we're not in a pandemic is a form of gaslighting. Saying just be positive ignores the injustice that we're seeing right now. So I think it's important to recognize, hey, we are in a place of pain. For other teachers, it's not just this, it's more internal. They're feeling the effects of perfectionism. They're feeling the effects of having high expectations for themselves and not giving themselves the permission to make mistakes. And in these moments, it's important that we redefine the way that we view success, from being perfect to being faithful. Saying that showing up and doing your best is the definition of success every year, but especially this year. Now, for other teachers, though, the challenge is decision fatigue. They're just making too many decisions this year. There's too much change, and they are feeling tired and overwhelmed. In some cases, though, it's more than that. It's initiative fatigue or change fatigue. There's too many new initiatives, too many new ideas, and teachers are feeling overwhelmed by this sense of fatigue. But in some cases, it goes beyond fatigue. It's not simply decision fatigue or cognitive fatigue. It's not simply, you know, the effects of this massive learning curve that we're all facing. For some teachers, it's vicarious trauma. You are feeling the effects of the trauma that your students are bringing into the classroom, and it is traumatic to you as well. And I also want to point out that there are big external factors that are traumatic. Big arguments and debates over critical race theory, and, you know, parents who are yelling in school board meetings, and, you know, big, huge fights over whether or not you're supposed to wear a mask. And all of this is not just tiring, but it is traumatic for teachers. And I think it's important that we recognize that. So with that in mind, I think it's important that we ask, what do teachers need? And the key idea is ask them what they need. Some teachers need rest. They just need a break, a little extra space, some time to work on some stuff. Some teachers need recovery. They need a longer break with deeper processing. Some need restoration. They need systems to change, the culture to change. They need some support. Some teachers need rehabilitation. They need to actually have time to heal. They might need to go see a professional therapist and talk with them. I think it's important to ask, what do you need in terms of your own professional development? Some teachers right now are looking at it and they're saying, I can't learn something new. I just need time to process and to think. And what they might need from professional development is a chance to join a mastermind group and talk through these ideas. Other teachers are saying, just give me some practical things I can use in my classroom, something very specific and practical. And I think it's important that we allow teachers to say, this is the kind of professional development I want right now. So ask teachers and allow teachers to choose their PD. Some might want to do a book study. Some might want to do, listen to a podcast. I love the podcast My Bad from John Harper or Teacher's Aid, and just hear strategies for making it through a really tough year. Some teachers might need really enjoy the flexibility of online courses or the flexibility of doing a book study. And some teachers want to spend hours on PD right now. They're saying, look, this is a hard year, but I want to learn. I want to escape a little bit when I learn, and I want to bring those things in and use them in the classroom. And some, they want the bare minimum of PD. They don't want a lot of time spent in professional learning. And the truth is, we need to give teachers the flexibility on how much professional learning they're going to do, what kind of format they want for their professional learning, and then also, you know, what kinds of topics they want in their PD. I have a whole series you can check out from this podcast where I went through like 16 different ways that teachers can own their professional development. And notice that all of these are different formats and approaches to it. The next idea is to ask teachers about their resources. Some teachers right now are feeling overwhelmed by the amount of work that's required. And what they want is boxed curriculum. They want packaged curriculum. They want you to buy something that they can implement and just see if it works. Others want not only to have the boxed curriculum, but maybe they want the boxed curriculum with the permission and the freedom to modify it and change it and make it their own. Others feel like what they have is pretty good, but they just want some small supplementary resources on the side. And still others are like I was as a classroom teacher. They want to design their own curriculum. And what they really want isn't curriculum and lesson plans and things like that. They want some classroom materials. So I think it's really important to say, you know, hey, what do you need in terms of resources? What materials do you want? What programs will actually support you in what you're doing? What is your creative approach, and how can you be creative as a teacher? You know, some teachers, they want to create something new. Some teachers, they want to curate multiple pre-made resources and figure out what works together and kind of mash it together. And those are two very different creative approaches. And I think it's important that they have the permission to find and use their creative approach. And it's also important that if you're trying something new as a staff, so maybe you're trying project-based learning or inquiry-based learning, I think it's important that you ask teachers, do you want to pilot it? And that we, this year, pilot it with a small group of teachers first before trying to go big. Another idea is to ask teachers about celebrations. Right now, there's a lot of pushback on the small efforts to prevent burnout. For example, it doesn't help to talk about self-care without addressing systemic injustice. It's not okay to say, hey, take care of yourself, go get a massage and wear blue jeans on Friday if you want. You know, that's not enough to just, if we're not actually going to fix the injustices that exist inside of our school systems. But I think it's also important that we say, hey, when do you feel the most affirmed for the work that you're doing? And we're going to craft our celebrations for that. Some teachers enjoy a positive note. I once worked with a teacher who would have a bad day and she would email us and say, tell me something positive, I need to hear it. Or another teacher who would ask for a video of a cat or a puppy or anything else that would make him smile. And he wasn't looking for toxic positivity. He just wanted something positive. Now, if someone had sent me a video of a kitten when I was having an awful day, I would have felt frustrated. That would not have been helpful for me. What I wanted was to be left alone. On the other hand, I love candy bars. Some find it insulting when principals send you a note with a little candy bar that says, like, junior mints, and it says, thank you for your commitment, to students. I love it because dad jokes are fun and I love candy. To others, this gesture can feel insulting on a day where they lost their prep period and they're dealing with an angry parent. The bottom line is different teachers want different kinds of celebrations and affirmations. Some teachers want feedback in terms of, come into my classroom and give me feedback. I don't want a positive note. I want, here are the pros, here are the cons, here's what's going on. Other teachers absolutely love it when, a principal or school leader gets up in front of the entire staff and celebrates something that they did, and then everyone cheers for that person. Again, it's asking, what do you need in terms of affirmation? And I want to pause in this moment and just say, administrators have a really hard job. So if this sounds like I'm saying, like, admin, this is all on you to do this, this is something that's true. When I say ask teachers, it's also teaching teachers asking teachers as well. I think principals have had a really hard year right now, and I think we need to recognize just how hard of a year it has been for administrators. A lot of the challenges that have happened have been from trauma within the community. Big debates about critical race theory, about masks, about parents that are angry about different things, adults who are struggling to get along with each other. That takes its toll on principals, and they have such a lonely job. And so I think it's important that when we think about this idea of celebrations, we also need to recognize as educators that there's a lot of power in affirming and celebrating the principals who are doing positive things as well. The next idea is to ask teachers about systems, policies, and initiatives. The biggest challenges in education right now involve systems and resources, and these often exist outside of the school. The big challenges are often outside of any individual person's control. Now, years ago, I was in a school where the principal began a staff meeting explaining just how dire our sub shortage was. This principal was recruiting more subs. We would eventually get this problem solved. But he looked at us and he said, I don't know what to do, and I'm looking for ideas. And he wasn't pawning it off on us. He was simply saying, I don't know what to do. Now, we came up with some ideas for recruiting subs, but in the short term, we need to be able to address this challenge we're facing, and that's what he explained to us. We have to do this. How do we cover each other's classes? What's the most equitable way? And we landed on two options. One was, either you give up your prep period and then you have the same number of kids all day long, or you lose your, you know, you lose. So that's idea number one. Or the second idea, you keep your prep period, but you have an additional 6 to 10 kids in your class all day long. And we had, you know, two different groups kind of debating and arguing. And at one point, this math teacher stood up and said, "Why don't we do both? Is that possible?" the principal asked. And the teacher then drew a diagram showing exactly how the system would work and how we could guarantee that teachers would have an equal number of days covering classes. Now, this was a small example of how we can create choice and flexibility in our policies and systems. This is why it helps to ask teachers what policy changes they need right now. For example, they might want to de-emphasize data and standardized test scores, and we can all get on board with that. But for other things, they might have different notions of how we could handle parent communication or how we could handle, you know, being out on duty. And we need to design with a sense of flexibility in mind. The next idea is to ask teachers about their communication preferences. During a really hard year, some teachers find comfort in getting the bigger picture and hearing details about every single decision. They feel left in the dark if they feel that there's not transparency in terms of, you know, sharing the information with the staff. For them, hearing more information helps ease their anxiety. I'm not one of those teachers. For me, less is better. Tell me only the few key pieces of pertinent information that I will find relevant. And this will help me prevent cognitive overload. It's why, for example, I hate the reply all option on email. If you have a question, email that person directly. Please don't use reply all. I don't need to hear what other people's questions are. But other teachers love to talk through key information. They enjoy hashing out logistical issues and going through that together. And so one of the things I love is to send out an email and make the meeting optional. And what I love about this is anybody can show up at any time to a meeting, but it can be completely optional for all teachers. And this would be, you know, instead of doing the all staff meeting where everybody has to be there, what you say is, if you want to be there, there's going to be an optional meeting where we will be talking about blank topic. So send a short email, and then anybody who wants to show up can show up to that meeting, but make it optional. You can also ask teachers, you know, what is your preferred method of communication? When it comes to communication, do you prefer to err on the side of over-communicating or under-communicating? How do you feel about making the staff meetings optional? And just, you know, create a survey and get a sense of what teachers actually want. Ultimately, the bottom line, though, is this, that we can't ask teachers to empower students with voice and choice unless teachers are truly empowered as well. This empowerment has to go beyond buzzwords and phrases. They need a voice and agency over their professional learning, the key decisions. They need voice and choice around the systems and structures and communication style at their school environment. But the very first step of getting there is to begin with this Roy Kent approach of asking the teachers. Hey, thank you so much for listening to this podcast. Would you do me a favor? If you enjoy this podcast, would you leave a review on iTunes or Stitcher or wherever it is that you get your podcast? Again, thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful day and go out and make something awesome.